Greetings, brethren. What a fantastic thing it is to meet with God's people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, from such a diverse background and from so many different places. We really appreciate people traveling so far and getting together. There's a yearning that the people of God have for one another to get together and to be one brethren. Somehow, in the Church of God, we move away from the way it was in the early days of the church. We're supposed to hold on to the truth as it was once given and received by the saints. I've used the scripture a number of times, and you're all familiar with it, but the early church met down by the riverside. And I thought, wouldn't that be neat to be having church down on the banks of the river? It'd be hard to keep people's attention, you know, ducks and turtles, and some of the guys would bring their fishing line, you know. But they met in each other's homes, like we're doing here. So this is a very special occasion for us to be able to meet like this and to worship our great God on the Sabbath as He's given us direction, but also to be with each other and run into people that are parts of our lives, some of them unbeknownst to us, unseen, known of us, but unseen by us, and renew relationships that date back to the early 80s and even beyond that, and to know that everybody went to such a great length and traveled so far and planned so much in advance. There's surprises and this get-together. It's a wonderful opportunity. Our tradition in the Church of God, and it's only a tradition, is to have a sermonette. A sermonette's supposed to run somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 minutes and have three scriptures. So we're only going to turn to three scriptures today. But I will, for your reference, I'll mention a few that you can put in your notes and look at them later. So we're only going to turn to three scriptures today. The title of my sermonette on this beautiful Sabbath day is One Flock, One Shepherd. The analogy of the shepherd and the sheep is scriptural, as you know. And it's good for us to consider some of the aspects of sheep and shepherd. Sermonettes are not for addressing major topics or setting a doctrine firmly in the church. They're really, we were told when we were taught how to give a sermonette, is to give everybody a chance to settle down. But it has also become our tradition for people who give sermonettes to also have a chance to put forth thoughts that will provoke people to good conversation, good fellowship. One reason that we're going to look into the scriptures about one flock and one shepherd and not rely on what has grown up in the Church of God is because we want to see things the way God sees things. And so we go back to His Word. And it's one thing that many of us do. I was taught by one of the pastors I worked with one time, put the brethren's nose in the Bible. That's the way it's not the big minister that's saying, here's my opinion, folks. We're reading it from the Word of God. So it doesn't really matter how much I buy into it. You know, we'll look into the Bible and see what it says. And Jesus used that analogy of sheep and shepherd a number of times. What does God say about sheep and shepherds? And how can an understanding of the sheep and the shepherds help us in our Christian walk? In the Bible, we find that a shepherd is a leader and a guide of God's people, who the Bible calls the flock. Because of our long history in the Church of God, we do not always think of shepherds today as they're defined in the Scriptures, because we've seen examples of shepherds who took too much upon themselves, gone to excess, and so forth. And we also, I found in the Church, there's a reluctance not to think of ourselves as dumb sheep, because, you know, we've been treated as dumb sheep sometimes. So we'll look into the Scriptures and take a fresh look and get the perspective that God gives to us as much as we can in just a few minutes. We have human nature. That's what makes us human. And it's an interesting thing about creation is that God gave all of the animal kingdom differing kinds of nature. All the animals have different personality, different disposition, a different temperament. So let's consider the temperament of sheep. How many of you brethren know the song? Let me see a show of hands. Mersey Doats. Okay, all together. Mersey oats and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy, a kittle eat ivy too, wouldn't you? So some of you remember. Who never heard that before? Okay, you're going to have to go online, go to YouTube. I'm sure it's on there. It was very popular just a few years ago when I was a little boy. Kids and lambs are very special animals. Because of their nature, children love them as pets. My wife and I had a few for our children when they were coming up. They're likable. They're lovable. Today, when we say pet, what do we think of? We think of a cat or dog. That's what people think of as pets. But in that agrarian society that was the early Church of God, and even before with ancient Israel, we find scriptural examples where a lamb was considered a household pet for the children. And everybody's aware of the gentle and playful and tender nature of lambs. Part of the reason why God chose us as being sheep. Jesus Christ was both a shepherd and a sheep. He's the Lamb of God. We read that Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was dumb before his shearers, and he opened not his mouth. When little lambs grow up, their natures don't change too much. Grown sheep are rather docile, easily led, easily entreatable, we might say. How many of you have seen a sheep being sheared of its wool? A few. Okay. It is amazing how willingly they go along. And the shearer, my wife and I got to see this, they'll take that thick wool coat off a sheep all in one piece. You'd think the wool would be flying. Some people use that saying sometimes, but it's not. It comes off all in one really nice place. I couldn't believe that trait of how pliable they were, willingly cooperative. And I believe that's one of the things that God had in mind when he chose sheep for the brethren, the way that we're supposed to be. What other animal could God have used that would have shown such willingness to be led by Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. Let's assume for a moment that you're the one that does the shearing. You've seen barbers' clippers. Well, they're just a lot bigger, and they're kind of loud. They take that sheep, they lay him over on his back, and he just like the scripture says, he doesn't go bat or revolt or fight or anything, and they shear it off. That's the nature that a sheep has. Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather shear a lamb or a cat? Okay, you get the picture. There's a different nature there. We're not a bunch of cats in the Bible. We're the sheep because of that willingness to be led. How many of you have seen a sheep running down the road behind a car trying to bite the tires? You see, they have different natures. Well, let me ask you this. What's more peaceable, a flock of sheep or a pack of wolves? A pack of wolves is vicious, and we're starting to get close to scriptures. God talks about wolves. So a lamb must be the most docile of all animals, gently led and influenced, innocent, vulnerable, peaceable, willing. We, brethren, in our Christian walk, need to be striving to put on some of those traits, those same ones that we see in sheep. As Christians who look to Jesus Christ. And when we look to Jesus Christ, how do we look to Jesus Christ? What he said, what he did, what he asked us to do. That's what true Christianity is about. Christianity being followers of Christ, as sheep follow a shepherd. We've read in the scriptures, this is in Matthew 7 and verse 15, you just marked this one down. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Wolves divide the sheep to this very day. Part of the reason why we're gathered here is because there are men that would divide the sheep. That's not something that God wants. And I think that the men probably mean well. They think they mean well. But yet, what do we have in the church? We have a division. The first place we find in the scriptures this analogy of sheep and shepherds being used was by Moses. He asked the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, when he knew that he was not going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, give us a man who will lead the sheep, who will guide the sheep. It says in Numbers 27 and verse 17, where Moses asked for a man, that he may go out before them, go in before them, may lead them out, may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. That's the first place I found in the scriptures where this analogy of sheep and shepherds is used, all the way back to Moses. King David picked up on it in Psalm 23. Now, many of you will think Psalm 23, yea, though I walk in the valley of death, it's kind of like a funeral dirge, the way the world looks at Matthew 23. But actually, Psalm 23 is about life and living life, if you read what the Bible has to say about it. It talks about the love of the shepherd for his flock. The shepherd provides, he restores, he comforts. He anoints my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's a psalm about living. But it's talking about the sheep and the shepherd. In Ezekiel, we find a prophetic example of Jesus Christ, not in this case being the shepherd so much as the lamb. He's our shepherd, and he's the lamb. As the shepherd, he searches out his sheep, he seeks his flock, he delivers. Deliver is the same word as Jesus, the Savior, the deliverer. He delivers them out of places where they've been scattered in cloudy and dark days. We're in cloudy and dark days right now, brethren. For us to be able to come together and to yearn to come together and to be the people of God, Jesus Christ is still the shepherd that we can look to. He has one flock. He's the one shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and verse 15, this is God speaking. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I'll bind up that which is broken. I'll strengthen that which was sick. And in Ezekiel 34 and verse 31, God makes it real clear, because some people get hung up on analogies and they think, well, this is talking about farm animals. This is talking about sheep. It comes out very clearly. God says, and you are my flock. Notice that singular, my flock. God has a flock. The flock of my pasture, they are men, and I'm your God, says the Lord. Let's go over to John 10. This is your first scripture to turn to, brethren. While you're turning there, I'll just mention this. I thought it was interesting that when Jesus Christ was born, we shy away in the church of God from the fact that Jesus Christ was born a little baby. We have a lot of little beautiful children here today. Jesus Christ was once a beautiful little child like this. But when he was born, did the angels come and announce his birth to the kings or to the high priest or to the noblemen? Appeared to the shepherds. I thought, yeah, that's interesting. They could have appeared to anybody and announced the birth of the Messiah. They went to the shepherds. John 10, verse 3. You've seen these before, brethren, but let's touch on them because it's important. We recognize Jesus as the one true shepherd. He knows his sheep. He knows and he leads each of us personally. Let's look for just a second at his relationship with us. Think of yourself and think of Jesus Christ. John 10 and verse 3. The sheep hear, speaking of Christ, they hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. That's a very much one-on-one relationship that we have with Christ. He calls them by name. And he leads them out. So Jesus knows each one of us personally and has that kind of relationship with us. And that tells us a little bit about how our relationship ought to be towards Jesus Christ. He goes before them. This is a good one. John 10 and verse 4. He goes before them and leads his sheep. And his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I like this part of this phrase in verse 4. He goes before them. Jesus Christ has gone before us. He's laid down his life. He's set the example. He has shown us how we are to be. He laid down his life. It's our reasonable service, Paul says in Romans 12:1, to be willing to lay down our lives, be a living sacrifice. If we're not following Jesus, we are not his sheep, because it says in verse 5, a stranger they will not follow. They'll flee away from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's where we are in the Church of God today. There are strangers. In the Church of God, we have tares. We have adversaries. The enemy's always at work. So let's talk about shepherds, because the Bible defines Jesus Christ as a shepherd. We've seen a little bit of that here and there. This is number one, and I'd like you to really look at the adjectives that the Bible uses with the shepherd. Number one, Jesus is the good shepherd. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, not just the shepherd, but the good shepherd. And then the Bible defines it for us as a Bible definition here of what a good shepherd is. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what makes Jesus Christ the good shepherd, according to the scriptures. First of all, Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life that we may live. You just put in your notes Isaiah 53 and verse 7. And there's a quote about that, but we don't have time to go there right now. John 10 and verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. I know them, and they follow me. So, they follow me. How much do we look to Christ's example in his life? We get caught up in the church culture where we look to a corporation or an organization or some other structure that's somehow between us and Jesus Christ. And are we following Jesus Christ? Again, if we're not following him, it says we're not his sheep. I'll be turning over to Hebrews 13. We're playing for high stakes. Time is short. And night comes when no man can work. Number two, Hebrews 13. We'll see that Jesus Christ is also the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd, now he's the great shepherd. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd because he was resurrected from death. Never happened before. He was resurrected from the dead by his Father. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, that's God the Father, that brought again from the dead, Jesus Christ was just as dead as could be, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd. There is where the Bible defines Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Notice again, that eternal life, that everlasting covenant. And what does Jesus Christ do? Make you perfect in every way, every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the work of God. It's a church of God. God is working through Jesus Christ with us. God the Father, Jesus Christ. He's making us perfect through Jesus Christ, who he raised from death. That's why Jesus is the great shepherd. And now number three, 1 Peter 5. Our last scripture today, brethren. You remember how three times Jesus told Peter, feed my flock, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Later on, Peter would reflect on that, live his life according to that, serving the people of God. And he would write this. Well, we'll see that Peter calls Jesus Christ the chief shepherd. We've seen him as the good shepherd. We've seen him as the great shepherd. And now we see him as the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd establishes the kingdom of God on earth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, feed the flock, again, singular, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. You're not in it for the money, not in it to make a name for yourself, not to build some great edifice around yourself, you know, that you're the chief of, because Christ is the chief shepherd. And then verse 3 tells us, don't be lords over them. But in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, it's Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back for a reason. He's going to establish the kingdom of God. You shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. So notice what the chief shepherd does. He returns with our reward, a crown of glory. He establishes the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ is the one shepherd with the one flock. In closing, just freeze on that title, the one flock and the one shepherd. And then I find it comforting to quote Luke 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.